The Lord be with you. Well, good morning and welcome to our service of Holy Communion for Palm Sunday, coming to you from the parish of Wargrave with Knowle Hill. And an especially warm welcome to you if you're joining us from outside of the parish. My name is Steve Turville, and it's my privilege to take the service this morning. Now, as we know, today is Palm Sunday, where we remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and how he was welcomed by people waving palms. And we would all normally have received a palm cross as we came into church this morning. Here's my palm cross from last year. Now, for our children watching this morning, perhaps you'd like to make your own palm cross later today, either from paper or cardboard, and then maybe colour it in and decorate it, or maybe even make your cross from things in your garden, the way that the Israelites cut branches and palms to wave as Jesus passed. And if you do make a cross, please get your mum or dad or someone to take a photograph of it and email it to us at the parish office, and we'll try to put them all on our website or show them in our next services. Our first reading this morning will be read for us by Angie Buckland.
The Old Testament reading is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 to 17. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he might see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
The main gospel reading for today, Palm Sunday, is from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them, and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We also have a couple of verses from Luke chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So here we are at the beginning of Holy Week as we approach Easter. With everything else that's been going on, I must admit that I've practically forgotten that this is the season of Lent. And Lent is meant to be a season of preparation for Easter as we consider Christ's suffering and death upon the cross, as we look to the celebration of his rising from the dead, and as we consider our own spiritual journeys. Ironically, perhaps without realizing it, many of us may have kept Lent more closely this year than we have ever kept it. The 40 days of Lent mirrors Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness as he self-isolated to prepare for his earthly mission. For those of us able to self-isolate, our time in the wilderness, away from our usual pattern of life and all of the busyness that goes with it, will go on maybe longer than 40 days. But it's an opportunity for us to consider and pray about our mission as disciples of Jesus. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus' earthly mission is approaching its end. As he enters Jerusalem in triumph, it would be fair to say that Jesus' disciples were having a good week. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. They've seen the lame walk, lepers cleansed, the blind see, the deaf hear. They've seen dead raised to life, demons cast out, storms calmed, food multiplied. They've seen outcasts welcomed in, the lowest raised up, and they've seen people's sins forgiven. Everything has been heading towards this point. They are having a day beyond their wildest dreams. Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. He's ridden in on a donkey as a king coming in peace, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. And he's been met by crowds of cheering fans, desperate to know if this Jesus was the Saviour King that their prophets had foretold, the Messiah who would free them from the oppression of Rome and make Israel great again. This was everything the disciples had dared hope for and more, and they were right at the centre of it. Jews were pouring into Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire for the great festival of Passover. Jerusalem was packed with people from all over the known world, maybe 400,000 pilgrims. The Roman soldiers would have been reinforced and on high alert. The tension and excitement was off the scale. And over the coming days, Jesus would go into the temple to teach. Now the huge temple complex was about 450 metres by 300 metres, and it would have been crowded with people. Luke tells us that all the people came early in the morning to hear Jesus. Now Jesus would turn over the money changers' tables, claiming that they had made his father's house into a den of robbers. He would be openly critical of the religious leaders. He would warn the people to repent because judgment day could come at any moment. For the next few days, Jesus would own the temple, and there wasn't a thing that the priests or Herod's soldiers could do about it. because Jesus was so popular with the people. The disciples must have thought that nothing could stop Jesus. But in a few days' time, in the space of a few hours, everything will go from the surest certainty to the deepest pit of doubt and confusion. Ask the disciples on Thursday if they had had a good week, and the answer would have been a resounding yes. We've had the most awesome week ever. Ask them a day later, and they would scarcely have been able to answer. They were so numb with shock and fear. That's often the way, isn't it? Think back to New Year's Eve and the hopes people had at the beginning of a new decade. Who would have thought that the world would have ground to a halt less than 3 months later? Lives lost, businesses lost, jobs lost, futures lost, dreams turned to dust, weddings that have been planned for many years put on hold. Our young people, who've been told for as long as that they can remember how important it is that they work hard for their exams, and then their exams are cancelled. One of the saddest things about this crisis is that families can't be with their loved ones in their last hours to tell them how much they love them, to say goodbye, or then be able to give their loved ones a decent funeral, to not be able to properly honour and give thanks for each unique and precious person. It's easy for us to become overwhelmed by it all, isn't it? That's why I find the reading from 2 Kings so encouraging. It's one of those readings in the Bible that immediately lifts our eyes from earth to heaven. Like Moses meeting God in a flaming bush, or a group of shepherds on a hillside, terrified by a host of angels in the night, or Peter, James and John thinking that they're just going up the mountain with Jesus and then being enveloped in the purity and presence of Almighty God. Elisha's servant looks out and sees that they are surrounded by enemies. But after Elisha prays, his servant is able to see beyond the soldiers surrounding them to the real power, the hosts of heaven, the hills full of war horses and chariots of fire. When we are faced with trials that seem to be overwhelming, we need to remember that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That the schemes of the kings of the earth are a drop in the ocean compared to the sovereignty and power of our Father, the King of the universe. But that's easy to say, isn't it? What if the circumstances of life overwhelm us, so that like Elisha's servant, we can't see beyond our troubles? Just because we can't see that heavenly host, that doesn't mean they aren't there. And this is the best part, the most amazing part. Our safety, our security, has nothing to do with our ability to see God or to hold on to God. But it has everything to do with our Father seeing us and holding on to us. What parent would stand with their hands in their pockets while their hurting child clings to them? What parent only holds that hurting child while the child holds them? What parent would let their child fall? Sisters and brothers, We have a Father who knows exactly what we are going through. He is with us in the storms. He will see us through the storms. He will see us through this storm most of us to continue our earthly mission, some of us maybe to join that heavenly host. The vast majority of us will come through this unscathed. We have the best medical infrastructure to care for us. We have the ability to self-isolate. And the stock market will rebound. And let's face it, self-isolation is a rich person's luxury. And the richer we are, the more isolated we can be, and the more comfortable our isolation. But for those who live in the slums of the third world, or those who are crammed into the vast refugee camps of Syria or Sudan, where medical help is sporadic and 100 people share a tap and a toilet, the possible effect of this virus is beyond our wildest nightmares. Those of us who are able to enjoy this wilderness, let's make it our first priority to pray for our key workers who are putting their lives and the lives of their loved ones on the line for us. Let's pray for those whom self-isolation means more loneliness and more despair. And let's pray for the poor of this world, who as ever will bear the brunt of the suffering. We're now going to pray for the church and for the world, and Salome is going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. God is close to those who trust in him. Lord, we come before you now and ask for your forgiveness. O Lord, who on this day entered the rebellious city that later rejected you, we confess that our wills are as rebellious as Jerusalem's, that our faith is often more show than substance, that our hearts are in need of cleansing. Have mercy on us, Son of David, Saviour of our lives. Help us to lay at your feet all that we have and all that we are, trusting you, to forgive what is sinful, to heal what is broken, to welcome our praises, and to receive us as your own. Lord, we pray for the world and so thankful that you go ahead of us in this world. We ask for your healing of this world for the virus that has taken hold across the globe. We pray for those countries who are not so well equipped to deal with the outbreak, and pray for your hill makers to be sent to these places to help them, Lord. We pray for those who are vulnerable and cannot help themselves, that they will be found and helped. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church and give thanks for the virtual churches that are springing up all over the UK. Lord, we pray that through this outbreak, your kingdom will come, your church will grow, the faith of the faithful will be strengthened, and the unbeliever will believe. We pray for our leaders of the faith, pray for your wisdom and knowledge for them. And we pray for those from the church who are serving those in need at this time, that they will know your love, your energy, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation and for those who are fighting the viruses in the hospitals, surgeries, newly built hospitals, and at home. Lord, we ask for your protection over their health, and Lord, we ask that you give them supernatural powers to doctor and nurse the needs of many. We pray for our government and those who are in authority. Heal those who are sick in authority and help them to return to governing, and give them all a determination to fight the good fight to the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are ill and separated from loved ones, who are suffering in isolation. And we pray for those stuck in other countries and away from family and friends. And we pray for those who have passed on, and for the families and friends that cannot give their loved ones the funeral service they hope for. Lord, we pray for all those struggling in mind, body and spirit, and ask for your comfort and mercy for all of them. So many plans have been put on hold: weddings, holidays, moving to a new house, starting new jobs, jobs ending. And Lord, in all these situations there may be disappointment, anxiety, fear or sadness. But also in this crisis, Lord, we know that good can rise. And we pray for all of us to be able to see the good that comes out of the chaos. Relationships that are reconciled, knowing our neighbours better, living less selfish lives and focusing beyond our needs. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is wasted in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are for us, that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And Lord, thank you that you do open our eyes to see what great works that you're doing in our lives and the lives around us. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Here is bread, here is wine, Christ is with us, he is with us. Break the bread, taste the wine, Christ is with us here. In this bread, there is healing, in this cup is life forever. Is with us here. Here is grace, here is peace, Christ is with us, he is with us. Know his grace, find his peace, feast on Jesus here. In this bread, there is healing, this cup is life forever. In this moment, by the Spirit, Christ is with us here.
Here we are, joined in one, Christ is with us, he is with us. We'll proclaim till he comes, Jesus crucified.
In this bread there is healing, in this cup is life forever. In this moment, by the Spirit, Christ is with us here.
We say together the prayer after communion. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Strengthen us in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Holy Communion this morning. We have services on Maundy Thursday evening, Good Friday morning, and also obviously on Easter Sunday morning. So please join us if you are able. But now, a final prayer and blessing. May the Father, who loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, bring you to his eternal life. Amen. May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to the Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him the way of his cross. Amen. May the Spirit, who strengthens us to suffer with Christ, that we may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.